Good evening, everyone. This is Bill Crozier calling to order the PNB Elections Committee meeting for Thursday, July 22nd, 2010. And Mr. Secretary, can you call the roll for us, please? Ken.
Okay. Meeting starting at 5:42. And roll call is Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Dan Spiegel. Anthony Fest.
Here.
Sean Casey O'Brien.
Here.
Ken Aaron. Here. Fred Klunder.
Here.
Okay. Bill Crozier.
Here.
But Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Okay. Melinda Dunn.
Melinda Eiley Dunn. Yes.
Okay. Campbell Johnson. Renee Bowser. Peter Tupper. Alex Steinberg. Russell Dale. Anaja Baba. Okay. We have 8 out of 15. That's quorum.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. I sent a revised draft agenda out about an hour ago. I hope everybody had a chance to look at that. If you're near your computer, you can pull that up. It's the same as the one I sent out earlier this afternoon with a couple items under new business that Ken asked to be added. Did anybody need that?
Got it here.
Okay. And I'll, and by the way, before I forget, also Russell Dale also emailed me this morning saying he would probably be late and, but asked for excused absence if he doesn't make it.
Hello, this is Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, I'm really not going to be able to participate much this evening. I'm on the road.
Okay.
So I'm just calling in to let you know I can stay on for a few minutes maybe, and that's about it.
Okay. Okay, we just started. I was just saying Russell Dale had contacted me this morning and said he wanted an excused absence, and he would try to make it, but he would probably be late. So anybody have any objections to excusing him?
No.
Okay,
your pardon?
Well, there was the Martin fire in 08, and then there was the Lockheed fire.
Somebody's speaking. I can't understand what you're saying. Okay, well, hearing no objections, then that's approved. Are there any other excused absent requests that I don't know about? Okay. So let's go into the agenda approval. Let me just read it real quick. Call to order and roll call, which we just did. Agenda approval, which we're on now. That's number 2. 3, approval of July 6th meeting minutes for 5 minutes for that. Number 4, report from the National Election Supervisor, current status and plans. 30 minutes allocated for that. Number 5, report from each station area RE elections. In parentheses, please have specifics on any problems or other items needing attention and what needs to be done about them. 30 minutes for that item. Number 6, new business, 15 minutes for this. And under that, we have first 6A, what action will be taken if we do not reach quorum, parentheses 10% at a station. And 6B, how do we avoid an injunction and prepare for forthcoming legal suits? And then there were several items that Ken had asked we add to that. Less air promotion than prescribed by the election policy, nomination deadline extension without extending membership, deadline, arbitrary thresholds set for a number of candidates by the NES were not met at all stations. The proposal for internet voting.
Since I proposed those things, items underneath B are not part of the agenda. Those are just the explanations of why I wanted it on the agenda.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Well, those don't really have to be in the agenda.
Okay, that's fine. So yeah, 6B was, how do we have...
That I'm going to propose, but it's when we get to talking about that.
Okay,
so
that's a good point.
I would move to remove all of that things sub 6B. Just leave 6B. How do we avoid an injunction and prepare for forthcoming legal suits?
Okay, any objections to removing those? Okay, hearing no objections, then we'll remove those. Thank you, Ken. Number 7, confirm the next committee meeting date, which is tentatively set for Tuesday, August 10th. 5 minutes for that item, and review action items for 5 minutes, and then adjourn by approximately 10:30 Eastern. Any other changes to the agenda? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? What was that, Ken?
I had clarifications of the reports, but I mean, I guess that could all... There will be a Q&A period with the NES, right?
That's why I'd allocated 30 minutes for that. Is that agreeable to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody's getting feedback and getting noise, so if you're... if I need to move your phone. And whoever's speaking right now, I cannot understand you. You might need to mute yourself if you're not talking to us. Pound one. Okay, were there any other changes to the agenda?
Here's mine.
Okay, I hear no changes to the agenda, so I hear a motion to approve the agenda.
Oh.
Okay, any objections? Okay, hearing none, then the agenda is approved the way I read it, with those details deleted under 6B. So, okay, the next item is approval of the July 6th meeting minutes that Ken sent that evening after the meeting. Any changes?
Approve the minutes with your corrections.
Okay, tell people what those were. I'm sorry, I forgot to send that to everybody.
The only thing I'm willing to change is the first column of the X's is present, the second column is absent. That was omitted in the roll call.
The thing of
numbering, I can go back and try to number the items on the agenda. That was the other thing, like in the minutes, the didn't relate to the numbers in the agenda.
Right.
Those two issues.
So the numbering of the agenda. Okay. Any other corrections to the minutes? If not, do I hear a motion to accept them as amended?
I'm going to go across the road.
So moved.
Okay. All right. Any objections? I think that was Anthony, right?
It was.
That motion. Okay, thank you. Okay, so the minutes are approved for July 6th meeting. Thank you. And next is a report from the National Election Supervisor with current status and plans. And just to remind everybody, there's a written report from the NES from Renee dated July 17th that she presented to the PNB. It's on the Google group. And also there is a later report that she sent today, this afternoon. So if anybody's listening on the stream or didn't get that email, just go to groups.google.com. This is public. And search for PNB underscore elections. So, Renee, you want to give us an update?
Sure. So just following this written report that I sent out to everybody, to start with the election status at all stations, right now I'm right in the middle of vetting the mailing list. And it's just taking a long time because there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of issues with each list, and I have to combine lists that are in different formats, et cetera. I've started with WBAI, so I've prepared myself to start with the most difficult, and it is the most difficult one. So, and also in addition to me going through a series of queries using Microsoft Access, Berthold is also checking that the list that he gave me actually corresponds to the right queries in MemSys, which wasn't done last year. So that's why we did the mistake last year. So far, the WBAI list from his queries that he's basically been randomly selecting from the list he gave to me and checking against the MemSys records. So far, he's gotten 100% accuracy, so that's perfect. He's checked about 200 names only. He aims to check about twice that much to then say we have, the queries were run correctly, and we're dealing with a good list. And so the nomination has been closed at four of the five stations. And so at KPFA, we have 28 listeners, 7 staff. KPFK, 27 listeners and 6 staff. KPFT, 25 listeners and 8 staff. WBAI, 25 listeners and 7 staff. And right now, you know, the online profiles, all the online stuff, each local election supervisor manages that. And they're updating everything as quickly as they can. They've vetted everything. I actually have hard copies of all. We had a very strict vetting procedure that everybody followed to the T. And, you know, we have records for that and everything. So some of the issues with getting those online profiles updated quickly is just that some stuff was submitted in hard copy. So it requires transcribing everything. But anyhow, by tomorrow, everything should be updated on the webpage. That's our goal. And WPFW, we've extended to July 31st, as there were only 9 listeners and 3 staff. And we're going for a new strategy with less emphasis on cards, more emphasis on live and pre-recorded interviews with you know, on each program, basically, with election supervisors and other people, such as, you know, Arlene, if she would be a guest, or Bill Crozier, or George Ryder, or other, you know, other people who can speak of the elections, of any questions people might have of the process. And we really need local, we really need WPFW, local station board support. We haven't, and I'm sad that nobody's on the call from WPFW because, you know, we really need their support in this next week in order to get enough people running at WPFW. The campaign phase has been initiated at the other 4 stations. The carts are being recorded, and we are aiming to start airing them August 1st, and the second week of August at WPFW if on the 31st we have enough candidates running. Otherwise, we may have to extend even further at WPFW, the nomination phase, that is. And also, we're preparing the forums, the on-air forums and in-person forums. And the calculation follows what the resolution requires, which is 1 hour per 5 candidates and 3 forums in total. Meaning, for example, you have 25 candidates, and so for one forum, you'd have one forum would be 5 hours, and you'd need a total of 15 hours of forum to be allocated of airtime for, you know, for this to happen. Then the next thing I just wanted to talk about was the election cost-cutting proposal. While I would really, really like for us to go ahead and do the electronic and paper ballot combination, and I do believe that it'll be ready, but, you know, we should trial it rigorously ahead of time. So this proposal is basically, you know, we'll have all paper ballots, and which would include, you know, opening letters, single STV instructions, the ballot itself, as well as ballot replacement instructions and instructions on how to obtain a candidate booklet, as well as but the idea is that the candidate booklets would not be included in the bulk mail, and just this one thing would save approximately $30,000. And you know, we really need to take this step this year, given the dire financial status that the foundation is facing. And there would be, all, you know, 1-800 number in place, as well as other forms of communication to get that candidate booklet, and everything would be online, obviously. And then the other piece is that, you know, as part of the instructions, there would be instructions on how to do an online survey, which would be a station-specific program evaluation, which would actually serve to trial the electronic ballot system, because it would use the same login information and the interface would look the same. And then we would be able to actually test the system on a massive scale while providing full information on evaluating programs or other evaluations that could be done. So that's the proposal right now, and I'm open for questions. That's the end of my report.
Anna, okay, thank you. Let me check. Hold on a second. Did somebody join us after we called roll?
Manajay?
Okay, thank you, Manajay.
I had another meeting at BAI.
Okay. And then who wanted to be on the stack?
Alex.
Sean.
Alex.
Ken.
Alex and Sean.
Ken.
Okay. Let me just real quick just ask for clarifications, Renee. So you're proposing now sending out to everybody paper ballots. Would it be to all members?
Yeah, everybody. Everybody gets paper ballot instructions. The only thing is we won't send out, I mean, this is still a proposal, obviously. The idea is, in order to cut costs, we won't send out any candidate booklets in bulk. And just send them to people who need them, who request them, by phone or in person. That's what the new proposal is to try and cut costs. That's for the election, but at the same time, in that letter, included for an online survey, which would actually trial the electronic ballot method, but not apply it to the election this year. Apply it to something else, and we thought something relevant would be like a station-specific program evaluation or community needs assessment. So we'd be able to integrate, the testing of this method for election with collecting useful information.
Okay.
The new idea, yeah.
Okay. I'm sure other people have on the stack, too, but we have Alex, Sean, and Ken. So, Alex, go ahead.
Pardon me. Jerry, could somebody keep time, please?
Oh, yeah. Who would like to be a timekeeper for us? Somebody want to volunteer?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to do it while I'm doing other things here with the...
And I believe we're getting some background noise from Manisha.
Yeah, somebody needs to mute themselves. Pound one. And same thing to unmute. Or use your phone if it has a mute button. Is 90 seconds okay for each person? And we'll try to keep the answer short, too, so we can make a second round if we need to. Okay. I'll try to keep time, but if somebody else would do it for me, it would be better. Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Three things in reaction to this report. Number one, the Elections Committee, as you probably know, voted for an opt-out option in terms of getting the candidates' booklets, and you're proposing an opt-in. And I think that could be a big mistake because, yes, it might save money in the short term, but if we don't make quorum because people didn't get the candidates' booklets and don't know what's going on, that'll cost us more in the long term. Okay, that's my first point. My second point is I really think we need an extension in more than WPFW. There's been some irregularities in the rules for candidates' filings at WBAI. There was originally directions to fax in signatures. Somehow those directions are no longer findable on any website. And as a result, one candidate who was sort of a last-minute candidate thought she could do it with the faxing, and nobody could figure out how to do the faxing. There was no fax number anywhere. In addition, there were some ad hoc extensions to a candidate for several hours and another candidate. It was kind of a mess. So I think the way to fix it would be simply to extend the deadline to the end of the month I'm asking you, Renee, to do that. And I also know that there are all sorts of issues still left at KPFK, and I assume some of the members of the committee from that station will be able to speak about that. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to follow up my remarks because I'm on the road, but I just wanted to let you know that that's my take on this.
Okay, Renee?
Sure. You know, first of all, the instructions, there's the fax number is all over the place, and the fax is here for the national office, and I monitor the fax machine, so I don't know what that's about. And with respect to that one candidate, that who you're referring to, I actually tried to contact her. And the thing is, there was no confusion. I really don't understand. I think, you know, we were clear on the fact that, you know, you can fax everything, you know, by, 6 p.m. July 19th. You know, provided that you get the originals in by the way where the instructions say the 23rd, you can get the originals in by the 23rd. And all the local supervisors know that. Because you get this rush, you know, we get this big rush, you know, and even though we have a rigorous method in place for, which consists of, you know, a detailed checklist, which corresponds to each candidate. Some one little piece might be missing for no fault of anyone, and we're not. And so what I thought was to create a buffer zone of time. That's why we finished it at 6 p.m., not 12 midnight, so that, you know, there's 6 hours. Basically, for the local election supervisors to go through, and what they thought might be complete, you know, I know in one case, for example, like a Kathy Kidd's case, anyway, small little things that for no one's fault, like you can't open the electronic statement because the electronic file is corrupt or whatever, or out of 20 signatures, only 4, and after vetting everyone, only 14. Our actual members, you know, there's just one signature difference or some small thing that can be found that night of, and then the local election supervisor basically can help finish these nominations and help rectify those mistakes by contacting the person and saying, look, your candidate statement was corrupt and everything is complete, but I need you to resend me that. Or 14 out of 20 of those people, you know, who signed your petition were valid members. The other 6 weren't valid members. And, you know, that's why we put 6 p.m. And so this was clear and this was nationwide. But this is between me and the local election supervisors and our procedure. We cut off nominations strict at 6 p.m., you know, either Eastern time or Houston time or Pacific time. But we, recognizing the realities that everybody's rushing, you know, that's why we have that 6 hours, you know, of buffer time and basically, you know, we're to rectify those small mistakes in order not to, you know, not to just disqualify a bunch of people for some small errors was no fault. Anyhow, I think that's was the procedure, and you know, there was no exceptions made for anyone, and you know, be it like the procedure or not like the procedure, you know, that was, you know, procedure that was followed for everyone nationwide, so it was fair across the board. There was no individual favoritism, or disfavoritism, however you want to look at it, but so anyway, that's, you know, that's my answer to that question.
This is Renee Bowser.
Okay.
I just want to report that I'm on the call. I was on at a mass committee meeting, so, I mean, you know, on our GM, so that's, I forgot about the time.
Okay, good. Thanks for letting me know. Glad you're here. Okay, Sean was next on the stack, and by the way, Renee, what we're doing is Q&A for Renee Asteria right now.
Oh, from her report. Okay.
Which she also emailed a lot of that to us, so you can check your email today if you haven't had a chance. So Sean's next on the stack.
She emailed hers after your email at 12:39.
Actually, she sent it to me, and she had trouble emailing it to the group, and I uploaded it to our Google group and sent an email to everybody saying that it's there.
Okay. So the one from July 17th?
Both that one and the one from this afternoon are there, so you can
Okay, I only have
them.
July 17th. Okay, thank you.
And those are public documents. Anybody should be able to get them. So. Okay, Sean. You there, Sean?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Renee, do I understand you correctly that electronic voting for this cycle is out of the question, no longer under consideration?
Right now, no.
Right
what was
now,
the question?
No.
Because you
right
kind of
now,
broke
no.
up.
I'm confused by your answer.
Hey, Sean, can you ask that question again? Because you broke up from me.
Yeah, I just want to know if for this
trial test. Of
everybody stop talking except Sean. Sean, you're clicking in and out.
That's what I was trying to make the point of.
Can you hear me now, folks?
No, it's clicking in and out, like the line has a short in it.
I don't have a line on my phone. I don't know how it could have a short in it.
Okay, now it's okay.
Okay. So do I understand, Renee, that for this voting, there will be, in this election cycle, no use of electronic voting?
Correct.
So that's out of the question. Good. I'm glad to hear that, because the money we would have saved, we would have eaten up in lawsuits. So that's good. Now, I would also like to associate myself with the remarks of my colleague Alex from New York. We definitely need an extension. We know of at least three or four candidates who had problems, and there was some concern. They didn't realize that their membership may or may not have been, they may not have paid up their membership fees, okay? And this is the problem, which we tried to explain to you numerous times in not extending the membership line. You're disqualifying people, and that could lead us into legal problems. Also, I would ask all of you to direct your attention to the report that Renee handed out at the PNB on July 17th in New York. There's kind of a stream of consciousness complaint that tells us the LES is overwhelmed at WTFW. Here we go again. Sean's asking tough questions, and everybody's playing beep, beep in tone with their phone. At WPFW, the election process is difficult and cumbersome, especially for the candidates. The LES there is making our argument for us. She says they need at least 2 to 3 months to gather signatures. At KPFK, the LES there points out, again, the time allowed for getting candidates is too short. Again, your own LESs are telling you you need to extend the deadline. I hope you have...
can we let her respond?
Follow them. Now, finally,
Sean, can we let her respond and then we can come back to everybody?
Yeah.
We'd sat on a 90-second.
I was
going to
tie it up here, Mr. Chair.
The thing about the nomination period extension, I think that it goes far beyond what we're able to extend right now. We should have been hired months ago, and everybody should have been hyping the election on air, in person, for the whole year. I mean, everybody knows we're coming to election. So, I think what they're talking about is a very different extension than what you're talking about.
I don't believe that for one minute. And what you're doing is you want to hold candidates responsible for our mistakes, and that is not fair.
Can I finish?
Sean, can we let her finish?
Okay.
No, because I've heard this same regurgitation over and over again.
We can come back to you, but let her finish, please, okay?
The thing is, there's a difference between, what one wants in one's heart and knows is right in one's heart and what is actually possible given the time and financial constraints that we are dealing with, okay? I put their feedback there, because I agree with it. I agree with it. But... again, I'm going to repeat myself. There is a difference between what we can actually get done this year, and that's why I'm the National Election Supervisor, because I need to manage this election so that it works and that it closes on time. So, you know, if you keep on, you know, an election is a short period of time. It needs to flow and it needs to finish. If we keep on extending this, we don't have the money to extend it anyway.
Do I understand that you are more interested in deadlines than running fair elections?
Sean,
do I have that right?
About the
Sean,
last
finish, please.
Conversation, if this doesn't stop, okay, because there's no point in me giving feedback if I'm going to be constantly interrupted. I mean, it makes no sense.
Well, no, I just want to know, are you saying that it's more important to meet deadlines than running fair elections?
It's not about running fair elections. I'm not saying we're not running...
Can I quote you on that? Thank
Sean,
you.
You're interrupting again.
Okay.
Yeah, our NES just told us it's not about running fair elections. Doesn't that upset you?
I'm finished.
Let her finish, and we can come back to you, please, okay? Go ahead, Renee.
No, I'm sorry, but I really don't even want to further comment on this because, you know, it's a moot point. We are doing our best as a team to run these fairly. We have certain time and financial constraints. You know, we're talking real constraints here, okay? And I have to say, I work way overtime. I work every single day a week. I work early morning. I work late night, okay? And I don't think that, I don't think anybody could do a better job. This is a superhuman task you people are asking us to take on, and we are doing our best. So, you know, I wish you'd have a little more respect, human respect for us.
I wish you'd have a little more respect for all of us who have concerns
when the NES says
she's not concerned
about
their elections.
You're taking it out of context.
Play it back and listen to it, folks. Thank you.
Okay, Ken's next on the stack.
Hello, Renee. Thanks for participating in the call. Thank you for that. I wanted to go over, I concur with Alex, but before I get to that, how much will the software cost to write and implement and own and maintain the software that you want to do for this trial election on program evaluation? That's one question. What's an estimate for that?
It's basically the same right now because, as I wrote here, the tech who is designing the ballots and has already designed the software to analyze the ballots, he's the same tech that's assigned to this program. And I have to say that, you know, it's also written in my job description to design and trial an electronic ballot proposal. That was part of my job description. So,
Extra course.
Yeah. So with respect to the cost differential, it's negligible at this point.
Okay, and the other thing I didn't understand was in the proposal of sending out the mail with a ballot and instructions, if somebody wants the campaign booklet, they can request it by phone or by email or by letter, correct? They don't have to do it by email or phone. How can they request the campaign booklet? What methods?
By phone, by mailing, by fax, by online form, or in person.
But not by email.
Or email.
Okay.
And then also there will be downloadable formats. So it'll be very easy for people to read rather than the way that the profiles are formatted right now. Right now, the formatting is a little bit, it's just not very good. So, I mean, I'd reformat everything and put it into virtual booklets, you know, so that it's easy to read, easier to read than it is currently.
Okay, I've just got two other things to be very brief. I concur with Alex about extending it. I would want to go more than July 31st because notification is as much of an effort as you have made to notify the LESs and the public. The majority of the notification has been on the computer. By your declaration, only 1/6 of the carts were played compared to the previous election. So there's no it's less notification than we've had in the last election by 1/6. It's only 1/6 of what we notified people about what the procedures and what they have to do. Any notification has been scant over the radio. And likewise, my understanding is I was informed that there was an extension to July 19th, but there was no specific notification that that extension did not include membership. It was only saying the campaign, the nomination period is extended to July 19th, and I feel it was inferred, or implied rather, that that include becoming a member, because that was part of the whole pitch to get nominated. Become a member if you're not, get nominated, get 15 signatures, and we're extending that to July 19th.
Let's let her answer.
Fail to mention it specifically and say, oh, we're extending the nomination period, but not the membership period. If we excluded that exception, then it's reasonable for the public to assume that it would include the membership. So I ask for us to extending to July 31st for all stations can only get us more subscribers and more candidates. Last year we had...
Can we let her answer, please, Ken?
Yes, well, I'm almost done. Last year we had about twice as many candidates. The more participation by our listeners, the better. I don't think there's any financial draconian consequences to extending to July 31st all aspects of the requirements.
This is Renee Bowser. Can I get on the stack?
Yeah, okay, Renee. Okay, go ahead, Renee Mysteria. Go ahead.
I didn't restrict the 1-6 to a 1-6. That was it was a minimum. I didn't restrict that, and nor did I announce that. I pushed for the full, but recognizing realities, when I was trying to develop objective criteria, which I need to emphasize over and over again, that I asked I don't know how many times for the PNB to take this up, as well as the election committee, for months. I've been trying to get some concrete directives on how to extend or not to extend based on real numbers, not just impressions, so that those figures were developed not as a measure, like as a measure of a base minimum, but that was not at all what I wrote. And if you read the programming guidelines that I developed, we are talking about full compliance from the get-go. Now, we are faced with a lot of resistance with respect to getting stuff on the air, and there are a lot of different reasons for that. We can't just impose ourselves. It could backfire anyway. And we're not going, there's, anyway. So, and if you look at the figures, and we're not talking about 1/6 for most places. I mean, the only places that I'd say is 1/6 would be KPFA, very low coverage on KPFA. With respect to KPFK, definitely KPFT, WBAI, and even WPFW, from the reports that I'm getting anyway, in sheer quantity of airtime, they bypassed, the 1/6 or whatever. And if you see, I broke it down to number of minutes. Now, what the PNB resolution calls for is 36.5 hours of airtime dedicated to the election within the 1 month nomination period. So that's more than an hour a day over a 30-day period. And so what I did is that I took that and I made a measure of how stations were doing compared to that ideal, basically. That's an ideal. I mean, 36.5 hours is a lot of airtime. And I think that if we had dedicated producers to make really relevant material of high quality, I think that the stations would eat it up. But the thing is we don't have that. We are producing as high quality material as we can, given our resources in time and in human resources. So it's not that I was, restricting airtime.
I wanted to comment. You participated in the previous election when that mandate was adhered to by the stations, and it got us more participation by the listeners. It can be done. It was done, and it worked. So to say that it can't be done, or we don't have the talent, or we...
I didn't say it can't be done, and I
wasn't done.
Here, I know. Last year, the requirement was cut in half, okay, and that was done nationwide. And I didn't hear anybody complaining about that. And I know it was cut in half because I was local election supervisor. And I actually helped to develop the nationwide policies that were followed last year because of the obstacles that we were facing here at KPFA. So I know very well how much the minimum was nationwide last year, and it was actually half of what the PNB resolution required, half.
Correct.
Okay, hold on, everybody. We're 32 minutes into this thing that we allocated 30 minutes for, and Renee Bowser is on the stack. Does somebody else want to be on the stack?
I've been trying to break in, but the same people just won't let anybody let a word in edgewise with poor Renee.
Hello, Bill. Okay. This is Rob Hill. I just wanted to announce that I'm here. I'm sorry.
Who's that, Fred?
No, that was Russell.
I'm sorry, I was late.
I move that we extend this discussion for 15 minutes.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending for 15 minutes?
No, not for me.
Okay. Okay, Renee Bowser is next on the stack.
Okay, I have just a couple questions. The requirement, I'll be really fast. The requirement one is the requirement that, or is it a requirement that there actually be 18 listener candidates and six, I guess, or nine, I can't remember the number, of the staff candidates. And is that a requirement from the PNB?
No.
And
no.
So that's not a requirement because we weren't, as of last week, we were nowhere near.
Right.
And my second question is, I've heard every day that I've turned on WPFW, I've heard the promo or the announcement about the ballots being done, and you know you can call and get a ballot. You know the online issue, that experiment, but I don't hear. I guess my question is, why am I hearing that more than the fact that the election has been extended even before the 19th? I heard more of the announcement about
an election
experiment.
Through.
Yeah, and I think that might be kind of dissuading people because I've heard it every morning during Democracy Now. And that's where in Washington, D.C., that's where you get, during the weekday, that's where you get the biggest audience. So
yeah.
It seems to me that should be where we have, you know, please become a candidate, not,
right.
And you're saying it's 30-some hours a month. It must be playing in the morning, like 5 in the morning, because it's not playing during Democracy Now!, Community Comment, which follows that by half an hour, and Gloria Minot, which follows that by half an hour, the Public Affairs Show. And it's not being played during Spectrum Today, which is from 6 to 7.
Right,
so,
right.
Pardon me?
So that's really
a
concern to me because it might be making people complacent.
Well, I can explain about the, just these recent days, these past couple of days since the extension. There's been a lag time in producing the carts, for this extension. And the thing is, the problem at WPFW is that we've been heavily relying on carts. And currently the only cart, which is in rotation since the 19th, is since the 20th, so 2 days, is the green election because of the sheer getting a new cart into rotation. It takes a couple of days at WPFW. And also, the thing is, we're trying to get a greater engagement on the part of programmers rather than rotating just depending on cart rotation, which is what WPFW has been doing mostly, have every single programmer do a live or pre-recorded interview with me with Stacy or me or Arlene or Bill or George, and right now we're trying to push for that because that's the only way that we're going to get people engaged is if they hear it from the programmers. And but just getting that organized is hard, and we're we're really trying to do that so that, you know, there is more airtime and it's not just some one-minute cart that might be repeated, you know, maybe 16 times a day, but still it's not as strong as having a five-minute long interview with, you know, with the host that people know and a live person that you can call in and ask questions. So that's what we're aiming to have a concentrated effort for these next 10 days so we can so I would look out for that. And also I would like to say that Stacy, like she this whole process really needs more support from the local station board, so with respect to getting the word out about this extension and recruiting more candidates. So anyhow, we'd really like some more support from the local station board, and to keep your ears out also, like what you just said with respect to, you know, not hearing enough of the right cart on air. You know, that's useful feedback. The problem is we can't control every single time a cart is played. You know, we can schedule it, but we don't know actually if it plays unless we hear it, because, you know, WPFW doesn't have an output log like KPFA does or KPFK does, which actually, you know, has a little code assigned to it after the fact, so we can monitor after the fact if stuff is aired.
No.
WPFW, we can only rely on people's ears.
Well, can you ask them specifically to play, if they're going to interrupt Democracy Now, which is, you know, can they put the one, because even before that, even before the 19th extension, we had a cart on, it was about Shuttle Anacostia, something totally different about with the Smithsonian museums, right in the smack in the middle of Democracy Now. And I'm just thinking, if the election is important, isn't it important enough to put it in the highest audience
the
day?
Well, I'll tell them. I'll get that message across.
Okay, thank you.
The nomination cart, because yeah, you're right. I mean, if they're going to interrupt Democracy Now, which is a good thing, then they should put the most important cart, which is the nomination cart at this point in time. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. Melinda, did you want to be on the stack? You had spoken up there.
Ken on the stack again at this time.
Yeah, and Sean on the stack for one.
Ken and Sean.
Tracy, I'd like to be on the stack too, and I haven't spoken once yet.
Okay. Well, why don't you go for the head, then Tracy?
I've not spoken yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Go ahead,
Melinda.
How about
after Melinda? I think is the way.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Melinda.
Okay. I've taken the liberty to send everybody a copy of the bylaws. I just wanted to make note. First of all, I do want to apologize to you, Renee, because I'm terribly sorry, but the bylaws are very clear. This is the original 2003, and it includes the changes done in 2007 and 2008, came from KPFK. On there, it clearly states 30 days given for the period of time by which a person has to have their signatures turned in. One thing that's always been the standard since 2003 elections is that we have always urged people to get more than 15 signatures, because you never can tell when somebody may not be up to date that they're not aware of. So I just wanted to point that out. And, Renee, I just apologize, because I'll be honest with you, I've worked on several committees of elections, and this is pretty embarrassing, and I'm sorry.
Okay. Tracy? Or did you want to say anything, Renee?
No.
Okay, Tracy?
Yeah, a couple of quick things. I do want to point out for the record that nomination deadlines have been extended in the past. It's not the first time this has ever happened. I think my recollection is that at PFW they are almost always extended, because PFW, for whatever set of reasons, it always takes a long time to get a sufficient number of candidates. So my guess is, although I don't know that I'm 100% accurate here, pretty much every collection that we've ever had, PFW has had their candidate nomination deadline extended. In all of those cases, I believe the record date has never been extended. So I just want to say that while I appreciate people's concern, I think there's two things to keep in mind. One is, in a perfect world, the candidates are supposed to come from the membership subscriber base of the station. That's who we're trying to get onto our board. And we all have thousands of people that are in our membership base as it is. The second thing is that not extending the record date, yes, some people get irked, and I spent time speaking to some of those people that got irked because they didn't understand that they couldn't vote because they had joined after the deadline. But it hasn't led to a single lawsuit ever. And I think that's important to note. Renee is going to make the decision that she's going to make, but she isn't making it in a vacuum, and there is a history here, and I think that's important to say. I guess I'll stop there.
Okay.
There was one more point. Can I make one more point, Bill, or have I given up my time?
If it's quick. Everybody else is running over. I'm not able to keep track of time real well here while I'm doing this, but so go ahead. Just be brief, please.
Okay. All right. Cut me off if I go on too long. I'm going to try to be brief. I'm going to say that KPFA hasn't had nearly the amount of on-air programming cards, tutorials that we're supposed to have. That's, I think, basically, if I can say this on the stream, I think I can because management has been a little stubborn. Hopefully that's going to get solved. People are always a little bit stubborn. It's really hard to get the programming on. But I just want to say that there are other things that people can do and have done. There is a thing called outreach by people that are on the board, by subscribers that are concerned. There are other steps that we can take to try to find people to run for the board and let them know about the opportunity. We can't just play cards and then sit on our behinds and that's it. It probably isn't going to work well that way as a structure. And she is correct that last year, in no way, shape, or form, was all the programming that was in the PNB resolution got on the air. A lot of it was, and it was more than it ever was before, and it was good, but the mandate was not met 100%. I hope that it will be this year, but she's correct about the programming requirement being cut in half.
Okay. Let me just ask for Ray to, sorry, to clarify one thing. I think somebody had asked one more question, I think, never any answer to it. Somebody had asked about what are the problems with extending the member record date, and I think I know the answer, but could you respond to that, Renee?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're talking about, look in the bylaws. Okay, there's it's very clearly written that the first ballot needs to go out 45 to 60 days after the record date. So if we extend to the end of the month or beyond, we're talking about the first ballot going out September 15th or September 30th. So that's one thing, okay? And why there's that time? Well, we have to prepare a membership list of, as I was saying at the very beginning, I'm deduping these lists, and it's more than just deduping. It's there are a lot of discrepancies, and I'm compiling the master list of all the people voting in this election, and it's coming from 20 different sources. And so, if you were to extend, I mean, that basically, I have to start that process again, because you extend that, and then I have to take into account all those new members for that 1 month, and it might not be very many, but it's going to require the same amount of time to put that list together, because it's not like they can just easily give me the additional members. It's not as easy as that. I wish it was, but it's not. So if it was, then that would be a different case. But if someone's interested and wants to sit with me and wants to live through the headache of these lists, come to Berkeley and come sit with me till 12 midnight, and you will see what I'm talking about. So anyhow, maybe I should videotape it or something. I don't know. But,
okay. Okay, by the way, we're almost through with the 15-minute extension, unless somebody wants to extend again. But Sean and then Ken were...
I think it was Ken.
No, actually, Ken first
Ken
and then Sean.
And Sean. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, yeah. I just want to point out that, at least at KPFK, we have not had any requests for waivers presented to the LSB, and the record date has expired. And I know we're going to have political backlash on this, because anything...
the waiver would have had it been submitted prior to the record date. That's another reason for extending the record date. The inconvenience or extra cost in extending the record date, I consider to be trivial against the cost of defending ourselves from lawsuits. And the other question I had was, you seem to have answered, the question is what progress is being made in cleaning up the membership lists, which we haven't started yet. But any extension, cost of extension, or handling the few ballots that come in during an extension of record date, I consider it to be minimal. I understand it's work, and maybe you can get volunteers, and I'd certainly be willing to come up there and sit with you to midnight going over the list.
So let me tell you that I have started the lists, and I've actually been working on them for a long time, okay? And you can't just get any old volunteer to do this process. You need someone who has knowledge of database and doing queries and all of that, and I do, so I can do that, you know? And it's, you know, it's not that simple, okay? I mean, I really wish it was, but it really is not that simple, and I have already started it, and I've started with the worst one, which is WBAI, and it's taken me a very long time, but it's going to get done. And the costs associated to extending are certainly not trivial. They're certainly not trivial. You're talking just in human labor alone, if you were to extend this, at least $10,000 or $15,000. That's not trivial when we're dealing already with a budget that doesn't even exist in reality yet. So, I mean, you know, I don't know why your opinion is that it's trivial. I mean, I don't know what the grounds is, but it's not. It's very.
Okay, and what about the waivers?
And the waivers, the locals, it's up to the waivers to be presented to for people who require waivers. It's up to the local station board to give those waivers on a case-by-case basis and then submit your list to the local election supervisor.
But it certainly can't happen after the record date.
Yes, it can.
Excuse me, what are waivers? First of all,
there's a point of information here somewhere.
Point of information, then. What are waivers?
I can do that if anyone wants to.
Well, let me, I'll say if you want.
I can hear the AES's response to that, Tracy, thank you.
Yeah, well, okay, go ahead, Renee, yeah.
So waivers are given to people who can't donate money or donate time and to qualify as members. And it's up to the local station board to determine on a case-by-case basis if a waiver is needed. Now, the thing is, we haven't even been presented a list from the local station board, even though we have requested it, and I know we have because Mark has been requesting lists, different types of lists, you know, be it waivers or just simple committee volunteer lists from the local station board, and up until now we have gotten zero lists. Same thing at WBAI, we haven't gotten any lists. So you can sit and say, you know, it's not our responsibility to give waivers, it's yours. So why are you even bringing this up? I mean,
because we're cut off by the record date.
Where is that
point of information? Yeah, I don't think you are.
Yeah,
well, we're making that up.
Now you're being
discriminatory. You can't give waiver members better rights than paying members.
Exactly.
There's no better rights. It's a different date.
Those waivers members would have qualified. I mean, if they really need the waiver, they would have qualified during the year of membership or during this summer.
I agree.
You're talking people who can't volunteer those 3 hours or give those $25. That is really those are people that are in real need, and people that are in real need like that, they will be in real need this month or the previous month. So I don't know what...
I'm just talking about being qualified to vote in this election. They have to have gotten a waiver prior to the record date.
Exactly.
I don't know where you're getting that from, Ken.
Yeah,
that would be discriminatory to say to people who want to give us money...
Sean,